Our scripture lesson today comes from Psalm 32. We're going to be spending our season of Lent the next several weeks in Psalms. And we're going to consider this season through the lens of David and some of the other writers of the book of Psalms. And of course, this is a collection of songs and prayers and reflections that people have made, not only about God, but about how they respond to God, how they hear God, how they experience God. And there's not an emotion that we've ever had that doesn't have a place in the book of Psalms in one form or another. And so as we consider and reflect on this book over the next several weeks, I pray and trust that we will hear that still small voice calling us to Him. Let us read now from Psalm 32. It is a maskil of David. The one whose wrongdoing is forgiven, whose sin is covered, is truly happy. The one the Lord doesn't consider guilty, in whose spirit there is no dishonesty, that one is truly happy. When I kept quiet, my bones wore out. I was groaning all day long, every day, every night, because your hand was heavy upon me. My energy was sapped as if in a summer drought. So I admitted my sin to you. I didn't conceal my guilt. I'll confess my sins to the Lord, is what I said. Then you removed the guilt of my sin. That's why all the faithful should pray to you during troubled times, so that a great flood of water won't reach them. You are my secret hideout. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of rescue. I will instruct you and teach you about the direction you should go. I'll advise you and keep my eye on you. Don't be like some senseless horse or mule whose movement must be controlled with a bit and a bridle. Don't be anything like that. The pain of the wicked is severe, but faithful love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. You who are righteous, rejoice in the Lord and be glad. All you whose hearts are right, sing out in joy. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we are so very thankful again for this day, for the opportunity we have to worship you, to be reminded of your grace and your goodness in our midst. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me this day. We pray that they would be your words and not mine, that they would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things, again, in Christ's holy name. Amen. The season of Lent is a season that some of us enjoy and look forward to. Others of us, maybe not so much. Maybe it depends on the year, right? Sometimes we look forward to it, other times maybe not so much. Lent affords us the opportunity to realize our own stubbornness annually. Anyone stubborn? They're all the ones that refuse to raise their hand, is who all the stubborn ones are this morning. We have an opportunity during this season maybe to give something up, and in giving that up, we are going to use that time to read Scripture or to pray or to meditate or to do an act of service for someone. Or maybe instead of giving something up, we're adding a discipline, right, to our lives, and we're adding something, and we're going to spend maybe some extra time reading Scripture or praying or doing something like that. And in the midst of all of these things, we are reminding ourselves and remembering all those times we thought our will was the best way. And we're hopefully trying to see and hear God's will. It is a great season of introspection that we call ourselves to. These 40 days serve as a mirror for us to truly see who we are, to really get at where we find ourselves. Now, I'm sure all of us have a mirror at our home somewhere, and we look at it. And when I look at it, I always smile for obvious reasons. Stop laughing, that hurts my feelings. But we look at that mirror and it tells us the reality, right? Whether we want to admit it or not, that is what faces us. And that is what this season is about. For us to truly see who God is, for us to truly see who we are, and then to figure out how we get from where we are to where God wants us to be and to grow in that way. And I think we owe it to God. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to other people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as those who don't know Christ yet. We owe it to come out of Lent better than when we entered. We spoke last week about purification and being refined through fire, and that's what Lent is. It's a time of purification for ourselves, to come out better than we did when we came in, to grow in our faith and to mature, right? To be sanctified and set apart as God calls us to. And this is what Psalm 32 is all about. It's what it's challenging us to. It's one of seven penitential psalms that teaches the importance of penitence, of seeking forgiveness and confession to the Lord. And the order of Psalm 32 is an interesting order, what we've read and how we've read it. Hopefully Psalm 32, as we look at it this morning, will be a guide for us over these next several weeks in Lent. And it will help us to walk through those steps that we're going to talk about this morning as we journey to Easter in a few short weeks. Verses 1 and 2 begin this psalm, of course, and they tell us the benefits of being penitent, the benefits of confessing and coming humbly before the Lord. And the benefits of that are happiness and joy in the Lord. Those are the benefits. Those are what we hope to get out of this. Those are what we will get out of it if we are faithful. It's our desired goal. We all want to be happy, right? We all want to have joy. And so he tells us here how we can go about doing that. He tells us here that the sinner, the guilty person who is forgiven, truly understands happiness. They truly understand joy. They don't take it for granted. They recognize it because it is the exact opposite of where they've been in their sin and their guilt. True happiness cannot be realized until we know how far salvation has brought us, right? We sing often and we pray often about the joy of our salvation, and we wonder what it took for Jesus to die on the cross, right? And what that means for us. And we tend to see that the people who've had a farther trek to go from depravity to salvation seem to appreciate it more. And in those moments in our faith journey where things have been very difficult and chaotic and we don't understand why things are happening the way they are, when we come out of those into that joy, into that happiness, we understand it better. This freedom that we're given, that he offers to us, is realized through our acceptance of the salvation given to us, and then of the confession of our sin. We have to accept it. We have to confess that sin to God, where we have fallen short. We have to look in the mirror and realize how far we are from where we're supposed to be, and take those intentional steps forward towards Christ. And confession helps us in this process. Process our guilt, our sin, and our shame in ways that enable us to take control over them through the grace of Jesus Christ. We were talking this morning with our confirmation class about prayer, and we got to talking about confession, and I said, you know, it's really important that we pray out loud, but when we get to this part, it's really important that we pray real quiet, real silent, to confess these things to God, to find someone in our lives that we trust and that we know that we can confess these failures and these shortcomings to, someone that can hold us accountable, to not make those same mistakes over and over and over again. When we confess, healing, salvation, restoration begins and will occur and will come to completion if we will continue to be in that mindset, if we will continue to offer ourselves and confess our shortcomings to the Lord. Every morning, I wake up and I tell Abby I'm sorry for something. And then I tell Jesus I'm sorry for something. And then I try to be better moving forward. Verses 1 and 2 tell us the benefits, tell us some of the steps we need to take. God desires that we be free, that we be set apart, that we become those people He has created us to be. And when we are bound by the sin and guilt and shame, freedom eludes us. We don't experience that freedom that He offers. And He addresses this very clearly in verses 3 and 4. He says, when sin isn't confessed, our bones wear out. We groan daily, day and night, because God's hand is heavy upon us and our energy is sapped. How many of us in those moments where we refuse to confess feel that weight? Right? We feel our bones wearing out. We're not created to bear this type of strain and burden. The unwillingness to confess our sins, the unwillingness to look at ourselves and genuinely seek to be better, burdens us and it keeps us down. And again, we cannot survive under this strain because we're not strong enough to do so. How many of you have ever heard the adage, if you want something done right, you do it yourself? Ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to confession, when it comes to growing closer to God, if you want it done right, let God do it. Take a step back, recognize what you need to get rid of, and let God take that away. Be intentional in giving it to God as many times as is necessary for you to finally be rid of it. We're not strong enough. We're not created to carry this kind of burden. We've been created to worship God. It's our primary function as human beings is to offer praise and worship to God. Our bodies simply cannot take the strain of holding something in. We know that depression and mental issues can have very real physical burdens on us. And it becomes important that we give these things up, that we say them and tell them and get them off. We must be a confessing people if we are to be a whole people, if we are to be a free people, if we are to be God's people. In verse 5, we see a miracle take place. The stubborn person admits their sin to God. Nothing more miraculous in the world than a stubborn person admitting that they're wrong. They admit the sin to God. They have that sin then removed and they are free. They are free to be joyful and not stubborn. They're free to be flexible and adaptable and not rigid and constrained. And then verses 6 and 7 show us that this is the reason the faithful pray. This is the reason we go to God in prayer, because God protects us when we call out to Him. When we confess to Him, we are set free. It says here, we pray during troubled times so that a great flood of water won't reach them. Right? This very clearly alludes to the story of Noah and the ark. And if the people had been willing to see how far they were from God, there might have been a few more people on the ark. Right? He's been building this thing for 120 years. I think at some point we'd begin to take this guy seriously. And this is set before us. The faithful pray. We confess. We give ourselves to God so that He will set us free. Because God is ready and willing to receive. He is ready and willing to forgive. He is ready and willing to welcome us. That's what this table represents for us today. But we cannot receive that salvation until we repent, until we own it, and until we ask for God's help. Verses 8 to 11 then begin to show us that the previously stubborn person is now the one telling others not to be stubborn. Quit it. Stop being stubborn. Don't be like a senseless horse or mule, he says in verse 9. I hear that pretty often. That's the nice version. We are created to be so much more. She's laughing because she knows it's true. We are created to be so much more than this. We are not horses. We're not mules. We are people created in the image of God. We are created to have sense and have sense enough to confess and to seek God above all things. During this season of Lent, we have an opportunity to be so much more than we are. So much more than we are. I hope and pray today that as we come to this table, as we hear the invitation, as we confess through our liturgy, that we recognize all that God wants to do for us, and that we might confess and let it go and move forward. I hope and pray that all of us are better on Easter morning than we are today. Amen and amen. Gracious God, we thank you.